the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?
Pass the damn ball. You can follow me on Instagram at Pass the Damn Ball Podcast. I am your host, Mitchell Adams. Just wanted to come on here, give you guys a little bit of update on life. I just drove for the third time in about a month span from Eugene, Oregon, all the way down to Surprise, Arizona, which is on the outskirts of Phoenix. Been in the process of moving the last couple months. Definitely been a crazy plot twist of life where somehow I've ended up with my new home being called Arizona. So that's why it's been kind of a while since I've done a podcast episode. Thank you for tuning in. Again, my name is Mitchell Adams. You can follow me on Instagram at MitchAdams209. That's at MitchAdams209. Pass the damn ball, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to come on here real quick, give some reaction. The last 2 days, hopefully everybody had a fun, safe Halloween. It is November 1st. I just ate some nerd clusters, you know, the nerds, the chewy clusters, those are so good. Top tier Halloween candy. Those weren't around. They were just regular nerds back in my day when I was trick-or-treating. And now they got nerd clusters, which that is gold candy. Gold, top tier. World Series, Yankees, Dodgers, that fifth inning collapse, the fifth inning from hell for the New York Yankees, is something that will forever be engraved in my brain for the collapse, the catastrophic collapse alliteration that was the fifth inning, because Gerrit Cole was just having an amazing outing. No hits up until that point. Aaron Judge, after hitting a single game four, comes back, first plate at bat, home run, New York Yankee fans unite, woohoo! Oh, just to have a 5-0 lead be erased on a 5 unearned runs. The Aaron Judge dropped ball in outfield, that's what started it all. Players are gonna drop catches. You know, we've seen that happen in the outfield. I don't think that's big outrageous, although that's an out you got to make, because you get that out, that kills any momentum. It's just such a momentum starting type of mistake that you can't make when you're on the biggest stage that is the World Series. And then we got the terrible throw to third base, which I still don't even know what that was. That was the most shocking error, because you just don't see that. But then, no. My man Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rizzo, that topped it for that miscommunication. Gerrit Cole, you got to keep running. This is basic stuff. Pitcher, run as hard as you can. We saw Blake Treinen run as... Blake Treinen's not a fast pitcher, but he ran like his life depended on it, getting to first base, getting the out, securing the out. Gerrit Cole did not do that against Mookie Betts, who you got to be hustling to get that guy out. Yankees, catastrophic collapse. Congratulations to the Dodgers. I did call it... Dodgers in five, been saying. I called Dodgers-Yankees back in April. Didn't make any bets, of course not. But I got this World Series prediction right, this matchup. And, of course, the Oakland A's are still whatever they are right now. All right, moving on to football. Last night, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers real quickly. Yes, shocking, I know. Don't count him out. I know it hasn't looked good. I know they lost to the Patriots the previous week. as someone, lifelong Packer fan here, just a reminder, you know, in case that hasn't been made obvious, there's been many times in Aaron Rodgers' illustrious career where he has been down with a 3-6 record or a 2-5 record and has worked his way, run the table, relax. He's worked his way back. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but with how friendly their schedule is coming up, with now Davante Adams being there and seeing the chemistry click, along with him connecting with Garrett Wilson, just don't rule any possible Jets comeback. Okay? I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, I'm excited for this to get the podcast back going, trying to do weekly drops. We're about to listen to my boy Tino, who came on the podcast, and we are going to discuss some money line bets, some insight, what he sees, some fantasy football, and I let him rant about his Raiders. So stick around for that coming up on Pass the Damn Ball podcast. We all make mistakes, Tino. We all make mistakes, like starting Tutu Atwell. And not realizing Puka Nacua is playing before Thursday night's game, and it's too late to make the change before you actually comprehend that Puka and Cooper Kupp are both back. Tutu Atwell was the fifth receiver. We all make mistakes. Do you have any recent fantasy football mistakes? I mean, you seem like you've been killing it over there.
Even though this is one of the better years that I've had in fantasy in any of my years past, I still have made mistakes. One right now that isn't harboring me yet, but I feel like is going to kind of end up, you know, biting me in the behind afterwards, is going to be a trade in which I traded Davante Adams and somebody else who doesn't matter anymore to another team for, it was Kareem Hunt and Zach Moss. I got a win thanks to Kareem Hunt that first week, but I mean, less than 2 weeks after that, I ended up trading both of them away for another asset, so.
You're just playing chess out there.
Literally.
Chris Godwin is still on my bench.
Yeah.
And I'm just in very much a denial phase of what happened with that. Because also I had Ayuk on my team, which Ayuk hasn't been performing well, but I lost both two starting receivers in the same week. And Chris Godwin was arguably my best player. He had 35 points the week before.
Jesus.
And he'd gotten over 20 points in most of his fantasy. I got him in the 7th round, I believe. So he dropped down. He was having his best season overall since 2019. So rest up, Chris Godwin. Hopefully you get better soon. But yeah, so we all make mistakes. Welcome to Pass the Damn Ball. I am your host, Mitchell Adams. My boy Tino. Tino killed it's on. Thank you for being here, Tino.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Absolutely.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Let's discuss some football here. Moneyline. You and I like to discuss Moneyline a lot. It's been pretty favorable if you're looking at it from a betting perspective, as in comparison to spread and or over-unders, which you've been preaching to that before even the start of the NFL season. So props to you for just, you know, keeping your eye on that from last year as a trend. And I see it this year as well as Moneyline. I've been keeping track of all the bets, predictions I've made the entire season. Moneyline, my record is 71-52. That's my best record.
Yeah.
So it's a positive. Granted, it could still be a lot better. But 71-52, it's only been improving on that as compared to the over-under, which I'm 65-58, and that's only getting worse. It's getting more unpredictable. And then the spread, 65-57-1, that one being the only push this season was week one Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks.
Wow.
It's been the only push this season.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, money line seems to be favorable in that? What brought you to that insight?
I mean, I lived in Vegas for a year, and during that time, I spent a lot of my Sundays in sports booking, watching football. So I got to see kind of firsthand how people were like betting on like their parlays and things like that. And I was only betting parlays at the time too, because I didn't have a lot to gamble with. So when you only have a few bucks and you're trying to turn $4 into, you know, like lunch money, you know, you start putting together some juicy parlays. And, you know, I had some early luck, but it like quickly dwindled out. And I remember talking to somebody in one of the sports booking, you know, I was like, what's your secret? And he was like, you really want to know? And then he said, I only bet money line. And he didn't really explain much into it other than that, just said, I only bet money line. And so I remember it stuck with me, because I remember thinking, I'm like, okay, I guess I get it. Because it's like, you know, if you're betting money line, just win or lose, you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right, you know, like, whereas when you start factoring in these like other things, like the point spreads and things like that, you're giving yourselves more chances in which you can lose. And when you look at the over and unders and the spreads, the risk to reward is less than usually than if you just did money line.
Mm.
Now, that obviously doesn't speak true and if there's like a high favor, but like if you were going to go for somebody who's like a -1,000 favorite anyways, either bet a higher amount or pair that up with another money line that you feel very confident in, even if that one is a little bit more on the favorable end, or if it's still, or if you go on the underdog and it helps kind of even it out. But even just trying to hit two money lines is a lot easier than trying to hit three or more of anything else. And like I said, the risk to reward is always more beneficial when you go into the money line than when you go into anything else. So once you start factoring in those other things, it actually just, you're making it more difficult on yourself, really.
Less
so,
is more. Right,
exactly. So just who's going to win, who's going to lose, don't think about anything else.
All right. So don't do the strategy of six quarterbacks parlay, all of them throw an interception.
Yeah.
Stay away from that. Shout out to the Bears. Pure comedy. Pure comedy. How's it been going with the Raiders and Raider camp real quick? Event session, you know, is everything good?
I think I got exactly what I anticipated. And unfortunately, that's disappointing. There are some things that I have... then I look back and feel ridiculous on, like the first time I was on here, we talked about the beginning of the season, and I was very big on Devontae being a Raider through the season. So in hindsight, that's one of those things that I look at and immediately feel stupid for thinking that that was a possibility. Especially because I really had no basis to stand on. You know, I was giving Gardner Minshew a lot of credit, and Gardner Minshew has proven to be who Gardner Minshew is, which is not a terrible quarterback, but just a very unconfident one. You know what I mean? He plays a lot like how Baker played in his first, like, you know, couple like seasons. Not like when he was actually doing really good in Cleveland, but like when he really started like doubting himself, and you could really see it in the way that he played. A lot of interceptions, just a lot of miscued things. Like, that's what Gardner's doing now. He's put himself in a position where I don't think he's confident in it. And because he's not confident in it, he's not able to thrive in it. And, you know, so they tried to give the reins to Aiden O'Connell. And even then, I started to feel kind of just a little bit of hope. And, you know what I mean? Because he didn't play horrible. And, you know, perhaps maybe, you know, with the little bit of connection that him and Devontae were getting in the last season, towards the end of last season, maybe they can kind of carry it, you know? And then the kid literally breaks his hand in, like, a quarter of play. Like, it's just, like, that happens, and then Devontae's gone. You know what I mean? Jacoby Myers came back this past week, but he was hurt. And, I mean, you know, there's just so many things that just seem to be falling apart. The offensive line isn't holding up. And that's probably part of it, too, with Gardner, you know, having his confidence issues. Because I don't think he feels like he can step in the pocket and do it confidently without feeling like he needs to look everywhere else first. And, It's sad, you know, because It's like this Raider team can take so many steps towards being a great team that could compete at the highest level in the NFL, and then immediately start taking steps backwards. And then when they start taking those steps backwards, there's no immediate stop. They just almost have to go all the way back before they can start forward again. And that's kind of where this is looking. So, me and you talked a little bit about it yesterday, where they have Cincinnati this coming up week. And if they beat Cincinnati, you know, they go into a bye week with really good momentum and a very favorable, you know, schedule coming out after it. And, you know, they could make a late run. But even then, in this league this year, I don't know if it would still be good enough for them to make the playoffs.
Was there anything else you wanted to get off your chest?
No, man. I hope that the rest of the football season continues to be as eventful as it's been. I mean, even though it's been tough being a Raiders fan, football has still been great this year. So can't be mad at that. I want to see the Kansas City Chiefs lose. That's all I want to see. And the Denver Broncos. I don't want to see them win either. So as long as I see those two things at some point this year, then I think I'll be okay.
Follow Tino at Tino Killed It. Any shout outs you want to say today?
Follow me at Tino Killed It on everything. If you guys are interested in any music that I make or battle rap material, that is my thing. But you know what I mean? Go Raider Nation, as always. Life and times of a Raider fan.
Life and times of a Raider fan. Coming to Fox. Stream live on Hulu. That'd be a fascinating documentary.
Man, I'm telling you.
Especially just being a Raiders and Kings fan.
Oh, dude.
And an A's fan.
Yeah.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.